No one in this world belongs to us except our dearly beloved Satguru. This is Dibhajanapana Kohe Nahin on page 137. Oh man, don't be saying mine, mine. There's no guarantee of breaths. Your life is as fragile as sugar candy thrown into water. Oh man, don't be so full of ego. Death is on your head. One day, you fool, you may even drown without water. You're wearing dust. You dress in dust. Even your pillow is dust. One day, madman, your body will return to dust. As long as oil and wick are in the lamp, the light gets brighter and brighter. When both are finished, the dead body is carried to the graveyard. What is the use of stitching the old clothes again and again? No one is the friend of the heart. All have selfish motives. No one in this world belongs to us except our dearly beloved Satguru. Bhajan of Kabir Sahib on page 137.
Apna Satguru Pyara Ji Na Kar Bande Meri Meri Damada Ki Parvasa Na Kar Bande Meri Meri Damada Ki Parvasa Jivana tera esa chesa pani vichapatasa apna koi nahi hai ji ki apna satguru pyara ji apna koi nahi hai ji ki apna satguru pyara ji na kar bande kudit ka bar sir pe motani mahani na kar bande kudit ka bar sir pe motani mahani Eka dina pagale esa aye tu du bi bhaina pani apna koi nahi hai ji ki apna satguru pyara ji apna koi nahi hai ji ki apna satguru pyara ji mati odana mati pahenana mati ka sirahana ji mati odana mati pahenana mati ka sirahana ji Eka dina pagale esa aye mati me mila jana ji apna koi nahi hai ji ki apna satguru pyara ji apna koi nahi hai ji ki apna satguru pyara ji jab tak tel dip me bati jagamag ho rahi jab tak tel dip me bati jagamag ho rahi Jala gaya tela nikuta gai bati la shivi anko tor lai apna koi nahi hai ji ki apna satguru pyara ji apna koi nahi hai ji ki apna satguru pyara ji pata chola hua purana kabalaga sive dare ji Pata chola hua purana kabalaga sive dare ji Tilaka meheram koi na milia sabamata laba ke gare ji Apna koi nahi hai ji Ki apna satguru pyara ji Apna koi nahi hai ji Ki apna satguru pyara ji
There's no guarantee of breaths. Your life is as fragile as sugar candy thrown into water. As long as oil and wick are in the lamp, the light gets brighter and brighter. When both are finished, the dead body is carried to the graveyard. No one in this world belongs to us except our dearly beloved Satguru. I want to read today from a talk that Master Kripal gave on January 19th, 1964, which is actually now Chapter 2 of the book, The Coming Spiritual Revolution, under the title, The Birthright to Become God. This was a very remarkable talk. I was there when it was given. It was something else. Master was speaking downstairs at the Friends Meeting House in Washington, and he was standing up, not sitting cross-legged. The room was not big, but it was packed. There were probably several, 100 people, maybe 200 people, something like that there. I wrote about it. The church was packed and the atmosphere was absolutely electric. And it was. He had just come back from the adventure in Panama. Many of the people there had not heard him for several months. Of course, some of us had traveled around with him. Anyway, this is a section from that talk, not the whole thing. Master says, our schools of thought, or religions, were made for the purpose of solving this mystery of life. To be out of these entanglements or obliviousness altogether. We don't know who we are. A little child knows better than we. If you ask him who he is, he opens his eyes, opens his mouth. He feels it somewhere in here. As he grows older in years and you ask him, he says, I am Mr. Such and Such. Further, he says, I am a Christian, I am a Hindu, I am a Mohammedan. Again, further, he says, I am American, I am French, I am German, I am Indian. Who is he? He is a conscious being. That we have forgotten. We go so far away from our own selves that we forget our own selves. Masters come to tell us this. They address us either as a man, from the level of man, oh man, awake, or from the level of the soul, the conscious being. Oh children of light, awake. You are asleep, being under the control of mind. Your attention is diffused into the world and identified with it. You are awakened outside and are asleep from within. The God power is already within you, waiting for you. Your true home is the true home of your Father, that is, of all consciousness and all wisdom. Why are you stuck fast in this material world, in the outside things? These are only temporarily given to you. The body, being made of matter, is changing every moment of life. This is the golden opportunity which has been given to us to realize ourselves, to know ourselves, and to know the controlling power, which is controlling us in the body and is controlling the entire universe. All masters say that, of course, in their own language, which was prevalent at the time they came. By a parallel study of religions, you will find this to be so. Religions were made to liberate us from all these outer entanglements, to know ourselves and to know God. These were means to the end. The school and college from which many students have been graduated and get degrees is creditable. But we have joined them and forgotten the goal. We simply identify ourselves as belonging to one religion or the other, or one country or the other. There have been religious wars and patriotic wars in which thousands and millions were killed and are being killed. When masters come, they give us teachings from the universal level. They consider all to be children of God, brothers and sisters in God, because all are maintained and controlled by that higher power. This is the true state of affairs we are in. To remain in whatever religion you are in is a blessing, but not to attain or to achieve this lost godhood means you are still bound. For that purpose, masters tell us what to do. The story goes in the Hindu scriptures. There was a very learned pundit, or minister, who was a Hindu. He was the minister to a king called King Parikshit. He used to read out the scriptures day after day, every morning in the court. And the scriptures say, those who hear the scriptures and act are liberated. Liberation is not something to be had after death, but it is to be known now whether you are liberated or not. So those scriptures were read over so many times, from day to day, month to month. One day, King Parikshit sat down and thought, well, I have read in the scriptures, whoever hears these scriptures is liberated once and for all, but I am bound. The mind is very much like a magistrate. It tells you why you are bound. If you leave it to him, it is just true. You know, at this point, I'd like to point out that these couple of sentences, the mind is very much like a magistrate. It tells you why you are bound. If you leave it to him, it is just true. That is a bombshell of a statement which goes right to the center and the core of Satmat and, in fact, all esoteric teaching. If we leave it to the mind, it is just true. There's another sentence that Master Kripal has written in the book The Crown of Life. You know, creation as such does not exist per se. It's a sentence that belongs with this one, because this whole framework, this whole mess that we are bound into, that we see around us all the time, is a framework that has been created by the mind, not just our mind, but by all minds. If we leave it to that, it is true. But if we go beyond it, we see it for what it is. And Sawan Singh has gone into this very deeply in some of his letters. He talks about the difference from the point of view from the top down and the bottom up, and how they're both right. You know, the construct that the mind has established is true, is right, as long as we are in it. But if we get beyond it, it falls apart. It's nothing. It's not real at all. So, if you leave it to him, it is just true. He told the minister, well, look here. I've heard these scriptures so many times. Again, I give you a chance to read the whole scripture from one end to the other. And after that, if I am not liberated, you will be put to death. What happened? In 7 days, the entire scriptures were read over. And on the last day, the minister came home and lay down in despair. Tomorrow is the day of my death. His daughter was very wise. Sometimes daughters are very wise. Master made this point, which I have found very helpful all my life because my daughter is very wise, and I appreciate the fact that he recognized that. She asked her father, "Why are you so sad?" "Well, dear daughter, I am to be put to death tomorrow." "Why?" "Because it is laid down in the scriptures. Whoever reads these scriptures and follows them, they naturally are liberated. But I know the king is not liberated, nor am I liberated. Well, I must be put to death tomorrow. There's no escape from it." His daughter told him, "All right, I will go to the king tomorrow morning and just question him." She went there the next morning, and the king said, "Why have you come?" "Daughter, well, I have come to reply to the question that you put to my father." "What? But not here. Let us go to the wilderness all alone, you and I." And she also sent for her father and got two ropes. She tied the king to one tree and her own father to another. Both were bound to a tree. She came to her father and said, "Father, will you kindly unbind the king over there?" He said, "I'm bound already. How can I?" And she went to the king. "Well, king, would you kindly unbind my father?" "Oh, foolish girl, don't you think I am bound? How can a bound man unbind the other one?" And that was all she wanted, you see. This is what is happening. We are bound hand and foot by the outgoing faculties. We don't know how to be liberated ourselves. How can we liberate others? This is a practical question of unbinding oneself. To read the scriptures is not sufficient, mind that. To hear the scriptures is also not sufficient. There must be somebody who can practically demonstrate how to withdraw from the outside for a while, how to rise above these shackles of outgoing faculties, how to open our inner eye and give us some contact within. Once we do it, again and again, by regular practice, we will succeed. If at first you don't succeed, then try again. This is what the master does. To give a lecture, to tell you how to say prayers, how to perform certain rites and rituals that anyone can do after a little training. How to act and pose, how to laugh, how to cry. No, this is a practical question. He who knows it, who has that experience, is competent to give it. He will give you some experience to start with. It may be little or more. And what is wanted that he wants? To be still, physically and intellectually. God cannot be known by the outgoing faculties, by the intellect, or the vital airs called the pranas. He can be known only by the soul. Like alone can know the like. When is the soul liberated? When it is analyzed from mind and the outgoing faculties. This is a practical question. Now it appeals to you intellectually, but how do we do it? The reading of scriptures, saying of prayers, performing of certain rites and rituals, all relate to the outgoing faculties. But this is something that starts when you rise above the outgoing faculties. You also cannot do it with the mind and the intellect. You cannot do it unless you are intellectually still. You might draw an inference to come to some conclusion, but still the mind is intellectually working. We must be intellectually still too. Then a sort of transport arises to the soul, and it is unbound. This is all we have to do. When someone comes to the master, what does he do? All these 10 servants of the outgoing faculties, 5 of audition, sight, smell, taste, and touch, working through the sense organs of the ears, eyes, nose, tongue, and skin, are to be controlled. If these are controlled, then the house will be set in order. Every servant will do his job. All right, you clean the rooms. You set the chairs in order. You light the candle. Everything will be all right. This is the first thing to be done. Those who are attached, who are given up to the outside enjoyments or pleasures, may be good, excuse me, or bad, are bound. Lord Krishna said good actions and bad actions are both binding, like chains of gold or chains of iron. This is the practical first thing that we have at the feet of the Master. He gives you the way to withdraw from the outside and rise above body consciousness for a while. One cannot be an M.A. in one day. Rome was not built in a day. But once you get something, by regular practice and by obeying his orders, you will naturally become adept. A man who today is reading in the M.A. class was once reading in the primary class. If those who are now reading in the primary class are given the same help and guidance, they too can reach the M.A. class. That is why it is said, every saint has his past and every sinner a future. Man can change. Even the dacoits can become saints. Valmiki was a dacoit. He became a saint. He related the story of the Ramayana 18,000 years before it actually happened. My point is that there is hope for everybody. There is nothing to be disheartened about. But we have to develop whatever experience is given without the intervention of the outgoing faculties and intellect. It does not mean you should not use your intellect. When you understand a thing, then do it. Let not the mind meddle into it. Because if your mind is clutching, seeing here and there, drawing inferences, the intellect is working. And until you are intellectually still, you cannot take a step further. This is the first thing we have to do. To do it, you are advised to keep a diary for self-introspection. Do you now realize the necessity of the diary? But how many of you are keeping diaries, maintaining the diary daily? I'm afraid it may not be 10%. That is why, even if we do get something, we don't progress wonderfully. We must. This is the first thing we learn at the feet of a master. What is the difference between a master and an average man? He is a man, just as a doctor is a man like us. But the doctor knows by anatomy how the system works, how diseases arise, and how they can be cured. Similarly, this is a disease from which we are suffering. He who is adept and competent, who himself goes beyond these bounds and can help others to raise themselves up, is called a master. That is the God in him. Do you know who can give you a contact with God? No son of man can do it. It is God absolute which came into expression. When he came down, he gave teachings of the higher way because he had seen it. He knows the way, and in the human body he is conscious of it. That is the difference between an average man and a master. When you come to such a master, this is the first thing to be done. And here we lack, I tell you. We are given some experience, but we don't live up to it. Dragged away by the outside pleasures, knowing that God is within us, the priceless jewel, the priceless pearl, we cannot leave off this dross of the outside things. Tagore, a poet of international fame, says, "Oh God, I see there is a great wealth in you. Why cannot I throw away the filth of the dross of this body?" Knowing fully well, we do realize the truth intellectually. What do the masters say? God first and the world next. And what do we say? The world first and maybe God afterwards. Truly speaking, we are not after God. We are after the world. We pray to God, why? Most of us want worldly things. Were that not within the competency of God to provide them, nobody would have thought of God. A weaker man prays before some stronger person. Whatever goes out from the heart of our hearts, he hears. He is there already. He is watching our every action. Ask and it shall be given unto you. This is what all the masters said. This is the first thing. I have been laying much stress on that very point. I have been requesting and directing. I have been begging of you people through my circulars and verbal talks too. And still, if you do not do it, we should. This is the first thing. What will happen? Although your vision is through your open eyes, you will have so much control over your sight that while your eyes are open, you do not see. This we can develop. Newton was sitting by a roadside, solving certain mathematical problems. He was so absorbed in these problems that although a band passed by him playing, he didn't hear it. Why? Until this attention, which is the outcome of our soul, is with the outgoing faculties. The outgoing faculties do not work. Somebody approached and asked him, "Well, Newton, has any band passed by this way?" "No," he answered, "I don't know." You might have had an experience in your own lives of having sat very much absorbed in some thought, and when somebody called you, you didn't hear it. If somebody comes and sits by you while you are absorbed, you don't feel who has come and gone. This is the training of the attention, which is called Surat Yoga. When the attention, the Surat, is set, you might be sitting with hundreds of people and still be all alone. This is what Emerson says. When he wanted all loneliness, he went to an inn where hundreds came and went. This was because he had no concern with anybody. He was absorbed in his own thoughts. If you think that you should leave the world and go to the wilderness, there also you have animals and trees, and your attention is drawn outside. The only thing required is to control all the outgoing faculties. And how to do it, you can learn from those who have done it, and by following their instructions. You might have experienced in your own life that when you are cut off from everything outside, you feel a sort of rest and peace. Not every day, but at times. When you are quite absorbed and cut off from everything, you feel a sense of pleasure, rest, bliss, and peace. Naturally, what happens? We are after having that peace prolonged. Naturally, we want that. We are children of light, as I told you. Like a candle's flame, our source is up. Everyone wants to go up. If you turn its face downward, even then it will go up. Our soul is of God, of light. It is bound by the outgoing faculties in the body. When it is liberated, it will go up. This is but natural. Then, naturally, true rest comes. How? When we withdraw our attention from outside and enter the laboratory of the human body. When you enter an air-conditioned room, after having been in the burning rays of the sun, how rested you feel. It is something like that. You feel at rest. You have some glimpses when Master comes. Not only does he show you how to withdraw from outside and enter this laboratory of the human body, but he also shows you how to rise above the senses and have some experience of the beyond. When? When there is no questioning of the mind. When the intellect is at rest, that truth naturally becomes effulgent, and you see light. If you are questioning why this is so, why that is not so, why that has not come, then your mind is not still. It has to be stilled. What you feel at that time is the experience of God in the form of light and sound. The Master first gives you an experience of how to rise above this iron curtain of the human body. Then, as you practice day to day, you rise above the astral body, the causal body, and the supercausal body. Day to day, you experience more bliss and joy. Saint Tulsidas says that when he rose above body consciousness and reached the causal plane and had an experience of bliss and joy, he thought that is the most and highest of all. But after he had transcended the causal plane into the supercausal and beyond, he said, the causal plane is perhaps only a washroom compared to this. Those who have tasted that bliss are here in the world, but they are bound. Masters go under the orders of God. They want to go back. When any of us also has some experience like that, we wish to go in there. Why don't we want to go in there now? Because we find joy and bliss and happiness in outside things. And moreover, we have never cared to analyze, to go into the matter of what it is that gives us bliss in the outside things. We are conscious beings. How can a conscious being have bliss or joy or happiness in material things? But we do feel it. How? Why? We are bliss personified. God is all bliss, all happiness, and all joy. And this bliss is also innate in us. So long as we are identified with something, we reflect our own happiness in that thing. When that thing is withdrawn from us, or we are made to withdraw from it, we feel unhappiness. So we should identify ourselves with something which is not changing, and that is God alone. Any happiness we feel with outside things is not really lying in those things, but in our own selves. It is reflected in things so long as we are identified with them. An awakened soul cries, oh, how beautiful you are, how beautiful, how all-wise. He sees his wisdom in all things because he becomes a conscious co-worker of the divine plan. He sees that it is he who is doing it, not himself. Naturally, the question arises from a new man. How did you get into this state? You say it is all beautiful, it is all glory. Outside and inside, it's all his expression. God is light, God is everywhere. He is the one who has always been the doer. But how did you attain to this state? What did you do? That's a natural question. We are all, I think, seeking that state. The first step is be truthful. Be truthful. If you don't tell lies, you will change. Deeds of darkness are committed in the dark. You go and want to do it somewhere where nobody can see you. Anything that requires secrecy is a sin. Two seekers after God went to a master. The master told them, look here, here are two pigeons. Take them away and kill them someplace where nobody sees you. One was very active. He went around under the shade of a wall where nobody was looking, killed it, and came back in a few minutes. The other poor fellow, wherever he went, did not find any place where nobody would see him. From morn till night, he went around and around, and he returned in the evening unsuccessful. The master asked him, what, haven't you been able to kill it? No, sir. Why, could you not find any place to do it? No, sir. And who was seeing you? The very pigeon was seeing me. And at this point, there was quite a bit of laughter in the congregation, and the master responded to that, follow the beauty of the sayings I tell you. Live up to them, each one of you. You must be an ambassador, I tell you. Whoever has got the human body has the birthright to become God, I tell you. There's no exaggeration about it, but the pity it is that we don't follow it. For that very purpose, you will find that you have been given diaries to maintain. What are they for? Be truthful in mind, word, and deed. Don't make false promises. Don't think one way and say another. Let your heart, brain, and mouth agree. What is the criterion of a truthful saying? That all these three, your tongue, what you are saying, your intellect, and your mind, agree with what you have in your heart. Can you then do any evil thing? When you do anything and you are later on asked, what were you doing? And you say, nothing, sir. Is that telling lies? When you tell one lie, you have to tell hundreds of other lies to cover that lie. How we create more thorns for our own selves. With a truthful man, ask him something at any time, and he says the same thing. He doesn't have to think about what he has to say. But a man who tells lies would have to think, I told this man this thing, that man another thing. He's all the time trying to reconcile things. But the cat must be out of the bag. Even one thing. If you are truthful, you can change. So naturally, we want truthfulness first of all. But not so that anybody sees it. You see it. The God in you sees it. The master power within you sees it. That is why I say, be true to your own self. If you are true to your own selves, you are true to your God, to your master. If you are true to your own selves, you have none to fear in the world, in the three worlds. This is the first thing that is required. And further, when some God in man, the human pole where he is manifested, puts you on the way and gives you an inner contact, that God power is the true master, not the Son of Man. That resides within you. Can you do any evil or bad thing, even when a child of 5 years of age is sitting beside you? You'll require secrecy. Our master used to say, when a child of 5 is sitting beside you, you'll want secrecy. If you're going to do some evil thing, you try to avoid being seen, although that very God power is within you, watching your every action. How can you do any evil? So fear that. And there is, of course, a great deal more to this talk, but that is all that I'm going to read today.
Swamiji Maharaj kehnde hai ke is tarah tuhanda man jaag penda hai parmatma di tarafo eh sansar ik sukhne di nayi nazar vich aunda hai simran jehda hai eh rasta hai jiriya hai phaile khayalan nu ikattha karan da tisre dil te shabad manzil hai aap kehn lage ja tu simran de jiriye phaile hoye khayal nu tisre dil te ikagar kar launge ki hai ਬੂਹਾ ਖੁੱਲ੍ਹ ਜਾਏਗਾ ਇਹੀ ਸਾਡੇ ਘਰ ਦਾ ਰਸਤਾ ਹੈ ਤੁਹਾਨੂੰ ਤੁਹਾਡਾ ਗੁਰੂ ਉੱਥੇ ਮੌਜੂਦ ਮਿਲੇਗਾ ਉਹ ਕਹੇਗਾ ਪਕੜ ਸ਼ਬਦ ਚੱਲ ਉੱਪਰ ਗੁਰੂ ਉਹ ਨਹੀਂ ਹੁੰਦਾ ਕਿ ਦੋ ਸ਼ਬਦ ਦੱਸ ਦਿੱਤੇ ਉਹ ਪੱਲਾ ਛਿੜਾ ਗਿਆ ਜ਼ਿੰਮੇਵਾਰੀ ਹੁੰਦੀ ਹੈ ਨਾਮ ਦੇਣਾ ਜਦ ਤੱਕ ਕਿ ਉਸ ਜੀਵ ਨੂੰ ਪਰਮਾਤਮਾ ਦੇ ਕੇ ਖੜ ਕੇ ਬਖਸ਼ਾ ਨਾ ਦੇਵੇ ਕਿ ਇਹ ਤੇਰਾ ਜੀਵ ਹੈ ਇਹ ਭੁੱਲ ਗਿਆ ਸੀ ਇਹ ਹੁਣ ਗਲਤੀ ਮੰਨਦਾ ਹੈ ਇਹਨੂੰ ਤੁਸੀਂ ਬਖਸ਼ ਦਿਓ
ਸਵਾਮੀ ਜੀ ਮਹਾਰਾਜ ਸੇ ਦੈਟ ਇਨ ਦਿਸ ਵੇ ਯੋਰ ਮਾਇੰਡ ਕੈਨ ਬੀ ਅਵੇਕਨਡ ਮਾਸਟਰਸ ਟੈਲ ਅਸ ਦੈਟ ਵੈਨ ਅਵਰ ਮਾਇੰਡ ਵੇਕਸ ਅਪ ਦਿਸ ਵਰਲਡ ਸੀਮਸ ਲਾਈਕ ਅ ਡ੍ਰੀਮ ਟੂ ਅਸ ਸਿਮਰਨ ਇਸ ਦਾ ਮੀਨਸ ਆਫ ਕਲੈਕਟਿੰਗ ਅਵਰ ਸਕੈਟਰਡ ਥਾਟਸ ਅਵਰ ਸਕੈਟਰਡ ਅਟੈਂਸ਼ਨ ਐਂਡ ਸ਼ਬਦ ਇਜ਼ ਅਵਰ ਡੈਸਟੀਨੇਸ਼ਨ So according to the instructions of the masters, when we do the Simran and collect our scattered thoughts at the eye center, over there it is our door which gets opened and our beloved master who has given us the initiation is right there. Master is not the one who just gives you a couple of words to repeat and gets away to you or get rid of you or just go away from you. He is the one who has taken up your responsibility. So when you do the Simran and come to the eye center, the door gets open and the master is there. He tells you to catch the Shabad and go up with him.
Saadi atma upar asool padda hai jide vich aap baithe hain. Is de andar sukshm hai, ode andar karan hai. Jade tinne padde atma to laake teesre mandal te pahunch jande hain. Jad utthe jaake assi duniya nu dekhde hain, jis tarah paani de andar bulbule ਨਜ਼ਰ ਆਉਂਦੇ ਹੈ ਇਸ ਤਰ੍ਹਾਂ ਇਹ ਸੰਸਾਰ ਨਜ਼ਰ ਦੇ ਵਿੱਚ ਆਉਂਦਾ ਹੈ ਉੱਥੇ ਪਤਾ ਲੱਗਦਾ ਹੈ ਕਿ ਜਿਵੇਂ ਪਾਣੀ ਔਰ ਬੁਲਬਲੇ ਦਾ ਰਿਸ਼ਤਾ ਹੈ ਹਵਾ ਪਈ ਬੁਲਬਲਾ ਬਣ ਗਿਆ ਨਿਕਲ ਗਈ ਉਹ ਪਾਣੀ ਦਾ ਪਾਣੀ ਹੋ ਗਿਆ ਉੱਥੇ ਪਤਾ ਲੱਗਦਾ ਹੈ ਕਿ ਇਹ ਤਾਂ ਇੱਕ ਦੁਨੀਆ ਖੇਲ ਹੈ ਤਮਾਸ਼ਾ ਹੈ
ਮਾਸਟਰ ਡਜ਼ ਨਾਟ ਲੀਵ ਅਸ ਅੰਟਿਲ ਹੀ ਟੇਕਸ ਅਸ ਬੈਕ ਟੂ ਆਲ ਮਾਈਟੀ ਲਾਰਡ ਐਂਡ ਹੀ ਮੇਕਸ ਅਸ ਸਟੈਂਡ ਇਨ ਫਰੰਟ ਆਫ ਹਿਮ ਐਂਡ ਹੀ ਟੈਲਸ ਹਿਮ ਦੈਟ ਹੀ ਇਜ਼ ਯੋਰ ਫੋਰਗੋਟਨ ਸੋਲ ਐਂਡ ਹੀ ਹੈਜ਼ ਕਮ ਟੂ ਐਪੋਲੋਜਾਈਜ਼ ਫਰੋਮ ਯੂ ਓਵਰ ਅਵਰ ਸੋਲ ਦੇਰ ਆਰ ਥ੍ਰੀ ਕਵਰਸ First is the physical cover or the physical body in which we are living. And There is an astral cover and the causal cover. So when we remove all these covers from our soul and go to the 10th door or the Dasma Dwar, there we come to know our reality. Then we see that we are the part of the ocean. As the bubble is formed when the air gets into it, and after the air is withdrawn, after when the air is taken out, it becomes the water again. In the same way, we come to realize that what our relation is with God Almighty, then we come to realize that we are part of Him.
ਇੱਥੇ ਪਹੁੰਚ ਕੇ ਦਸਵੇਂ ਦੁਆਰ ਵਿੱਚ ਸਾਧਗਤੀ ਪ੍ਰਾਪਤ ਹੋ ਜਾਂਦੀ ਹੈ। ਐਸੇ ਸਾਧ ਨੂੰ ਪਤਾ ਲੱਗਦਾ ਹੈ ਕਿ ਗੁਰੂ ਕੀ ਤਾਕਤ ਹੈ, ਕੀ ਤਾਕਤ ਰੱਖਦਾ ਹੈ, ਕਿਸ ਤਰ੍ਹਾਂ ਉਹ ਆਪਣਾ ਆਪ ਇਨਸਾਨ ਦੇ ਜਾਮੇ ਵਿੱਚ ਛੁਪਾ ਕੇ ਫਿਰਦਾ ਹੈ।
A disciple gets the status of sadh after reaching the Dasma Dwar, and then he comes to know the reality of his master, that who his master is and how he has hidden him in the physical form.
ਮਹਾਰਾਜ ਸਾਵਣ ਸਿੰਘ ਦੇ ਅੱਗੇ ਕਿਸੇ ਨੇ ਜ਼ਿਕਰ ਕੀਤਾ ਕਿ ਜੀ ਗਰੀਬ ਦਾਸ ਦੀ ਲੇਖਣੀਆਂ 'ਚ ਇਹ ਹੈ ਕਿ ਦਸਵੇਂ ਦੁਆਰ 'ਚ ਪਹੁੰਚ ਕੇ ਸਾਧੂ ਬਣਦਾ ਹੈ, ਜਿੰਨਾ ਚਿਰ ਦਸਵੇਂ ਦੁਆਰ 'ਚ ਨਾ ਪਹੁੰਚੇ ਉਹਨੂੰ ਨਾਮਦਾਨ ਦੀ ਕਿਰਿਆ ਨਹੀਂ ਕਰਨੀ ਚਾਹੀਦੀ, ਕਿਸੇ ਨੂੰ ਨਾਮ ਨਹੀਂ ਦੇਣਾ ਚਾਹੀਦਾ ਗਾ, ਕਿਉਂਕਿ ਜੀਵਾਂ ਦੇ ਬੜੇ ਕਰਮ ਸਖਤ ਹੈ, ਚੁੱਕਣੇ ਬੜੇ ਮੁਸ਼ਕਲ ਹੁੰਦੇ ਹੈ। ਮਹਾਰਾਜ ਸਾਵਣ ਸਿੰਘ ਕਹਿਣ ਲੱਗੇ, ਦੇਖੋ ਪਿਆਰਿਓ, ਮੈਂ ਤਾਂ ਇਹ ਕਹੂੰਗਾ ਕਿ ਨਾਮ ਸੱਚਖੰਡ ਜਾ ਕੇ ਵੀ ਪਹੁੰਚ ਕੇ ਵੀ ਨਾ ਦੇਵੇ, ਜਦ ਤੱਕ ਤੁਹਾਡੀ ਜ਼ਿੰਮੇਵਾਰੀ ਗੁਰੂ ਨਾ ਉਠਾਵੇ। ਗੁਰੂ ਅਗਰ ਤੁਹਾਨੂੰ ਕਹਿੰਦਾ ਹੈ ਕਿ ਇਹ ਮੇਰਾ ਮਿਸ਼ਨ ਤੈਅ ਕਰਨਾ ਹੈ, ਫਿਰ ਵੀ ਹੱਥ ਜੋੜ ਦਿਓ, ਰੋ ਪੋ, ਮਿਹਨਤ ਕਰ ਲਓ ਕਿ ਮੈਂ ਇਹ ਕੰਮ ਕਰ ਨਹੀਂ ਸਕਦਾ, ਤੂੰ ਮਹਾਨ ਹੈ। ਕਹਿਣ ਲੱਗੇ, ਅਗਰ ਤੁਹਾਡੀ ਜ਼ਿੰਮੇਵਾਰੀ ਲੈ ਲੈਂਦਾ ਹੈ ਕਿ ਜਿਹਨੂੰ ਮੈਂ ਤੂੰ ਨਾਮ ਦੇਵੇਂਗਾ ਮੈਂ ਉਹਨੂੰ ਸੰਭਾਲ ਕਰੇਗਾ, ਤਾਂ ਤੁਸੀਂ ਉਸ ਕੰਮ ਨੂੰ ਕਰੋ, ਲੇਕਿਨ ਸਾਨੂੰ ਅਸਥੂਲ ਪੜਦੇ ਦੇ ਵਿੱਚ ਹੀ ਤੁਸੀਂ ਦੇਖ ਲਓ ਕਿੰਨਾ ਮੁਸ਼ਕਲ ਹੈ। ਕੋਈ ਕਹਿੰਦਾ ਜੀ ਮੇਰਾ ਧਿਆਨ ਨਹੀਂ ਟਿਕਦਾ, ਕੋਈ ਕਹਿੰਦਾ ਗਿੱਟੇ ਦੁਖਦੇ ਆ, ਕੋਈ ਕਹਿੰਦਾ ਜੀ ਮੇਰੇ ਸਰੀਰ ਨੂੰ ਕੰਬਣੀ ਲੱਗੀ ਹੋਈ ਹੈ। ਪਿਆਰਿਓ, ਅੰਦਰਲੇ ਮੰਡਲਾਂ ਦੇ ਵਿੱਚ ਜਾਣਾ ਤਾਂ ਕਿੰਨਾ ਹੀ ਮੁਸ਼ਕਲ ਹੋ ਜਾਂਦਾ ਹੈ।
ਵੰਸ ਸਮਵਨ ਆਸਕਡ ਮਾਸਟਰ ਸਾਵਨ ਸਿੰਘ ਦੈਟ ਮਾਸਟਰ ਇਟ ਇਜ਼ ਰਿਟਨ ਇਨ ਦੀ ਰਾਈਟਿੰਗਸ ਆਫ ਮਹਾਤਮਾ ਗਰੀਬ ਦਾਸ ਦੈਟ ਐਨ ਇਨੀਸ਼ੀਏਟ ਬਿਕਮਸ ਸਾਧੂ ਓਨਲੀ ਆਫਟਰ ਰੀਚਿੰਗ ਦ ਦਸਵਾਂ ਦੁਆਰ ਐਂਡ ਹੀ ਸ਼ੁੱਡ ਨਾਟ ਗਿਵ ਦੀ ਇਨੀਸ਼ੀਏਸ਼ਨ ਅੰਟਿਲ ਹੀ ਹੈਜ਼ ਰੀਚਡ ਦੇਅਰ because it is very difficult to pay off the karmas of the initiates because the karmas are very heavy, it is a very heavy burden of the karmas. Master Savan Singh ji replied that I would say that one should not give the initiation even after reaching the Sachkhand if he is not asked by the master to do that. If the master tells you that he will be responsible for the souls you will initiate, if he tells you that he will take care of the karmas of those souls whom you will initiate, only then you should do that work of giving the initiation. He also used to say that you should not even do that. If the master tells you to do that work of giving the initiation, you should weep in front of him, you should beg him that he should not give you that responsibility. But if he tells you to do that work, you should do that work only when he takes your responsibility and only when he says that I will be responsible for all the souls whom you will initiate, because you know that how difficult it is, even in the physical form, even in this physical body, to do the devotion. Some people complain that they cannot concentrate, some people complain that they cannot sit still, some people say that their body trembles, some people have the pains in the knees and things like that. So you know that how difficult it is even to just sit still and concentrate at the eye center. What to talk about going in the higher planes, you can very well imagine that how difficult it is to do the meditation and go in the higher planes.
जागत जागत अब मन जागा झूठा लगा जाने मन की मदद मिली सुख को दोनों अपने
ਆਪ ਕਹਿਣ ਲੱਗੇ ਜਿਹੜਾ ਮਨ ਸਾਨੂੰ ਦੁਨੀਆਂ ਦੇ ਵਿੱਚ ਵਸਾਉਂਦਾ ਸੀਗਾ ਇਹ ਸਾਡਾ ਜਾਤੀ ਦੁਸ਼ਮਣ। ਮੈਂ ਦੱਸਦਾ ਹੁੰਦਾ ਜਦ ਸਾਡੀ ਆਤਮਾ ਪਰਮਾਤਮਾ ਦੀ ਤਰਫ ਥੋੜ੍ਹਾ ਜਿਹਾ ਵੀ ਝੁਕਾ ਕਰਦੀ ਹੈ, ਸਾਡਾ ਜਾਤੀ ਦੁਸ਼ਮਣ ਮਨ ਜੋ ਹੈ ਸਾਨੂੰ ਅਜੀਬ ਅਜੀਬ ਕਿਸਮ ਦੇ ਅਭਿਆਸਾਂ ਵਿੱਚ ਫਸਾ ਦਿੰਦਾ ਹੈ, ਜਪ ਤਪ ਕਰਦੇ ਹਾਂ ਪੂਜਾ ਪਾਠ ਵਿੱਚ ਲਾ ਦਿੰਦਾ ਹੈ, ਤੀਰਥਾਂ ਸਰੋਵਰਾਂ ਦੇ ਉੱਤੇ ਇਸ਼ਨਾਨ 'ਚ ਮੁਕਤੀ ਸਮਝਣ ਲਾ ਦਿੰਦਾ ਹੈ, ਜਿਹੜਾ ਅਸਲੀ ਨੁਕਤਾ ਹੁੰਦਾ ਹੈ ਉਹਨੂੰ ਖੁੰਝਾ ਦਿੰਦਾ ਹੈ। ਲੇਕਿਨ ਜਦ ਮਨ ਜਾਗ ਪੈਂਦਾ ਹੈ ਇਹ ਸਾਡੀ ਆਤਮਾ ਨੂੰ ਮਦਦ ਕਰਦਾ ਹੈ। ਇਹ ਦੋਨੇ ਆਪਣੇ ਘਰ ਜਾ ਕੇ ਸਮਾ ਜਾਂਦੇ ਹੈ। ਮਨ ਬ੍ਰਹਮ ਦੀ ਅੰਸ਼ ਹੈ, ਇਹ ਬ੍ਰਹਮ ਦੇ ਵਿੱਚ ਜਾ ਕੇ ਸਮਾ ਜਾਂਦਾ ਹੈ। ਆਤਮਾ ਇਹਦੇ ਪੰਜੇ ਤੋਂ ਆਜ਼ਾਦ ਹੋ ਕੇ ਇਹ ਸਤਿਪੁਰਸ਼ ਦੀ ਅੰਸ਼ ਹੈ, ਇਹ ਉੱਥੇ ਜਾ ਕੇ ਸਤਿਪੁਰਸ਼ ਦੇ ਵਿੱਚ ਸਮਾ ਜਾਂਦੀ ਹੈ।
Now he says that mind who was involving us in this world is our greatest enemy. Often I have said that when we become spiritually inclined a little bit, when we start doing the devotion of Lord, or when we want to do the devotion of Lord, our mind involves us in so many outer practices, like he will involve us in doing the pilgrimages to the holy places, he will involve us in the japas, tapas and the other outer practices, and in this way he will always keep us outside. But when our mind wakes up, then the same mind helps us, he helps our soul to go above, the rise above, and both our mind and soul go together to their home, and mind remains in Brahm, because Brahm is the place where the mind belongs to. He is the resident of the mind, and then the soul goes further back to her real home. So the meaning of saying this is that when the mind wakes up, then he helps our soul to go back to the real home.
Jo taakat kan kan de vich vyapak hai, sab nu sata de rahi hai, us nu shabad naam kende hai. ਸੰਤ ਮਹਾਤਮਾ ਆਪਣੀ ਦੇਹ ਨਾਲ ਕਿਸੇ ਨੂੰ ਨਹੀਂ ਜੋੜਦੇ ਗੇ, ਉਸੇ ਤਾਕਤ ਸ਼ਬਦ ਦੇ ਨਾਲ ਜੋੜਦੇ ਹੈ। ਉਹ ਸੱਚਾਈ ਬਿਤਾਉਂਦੇ ਹੈ ਕਿ ਅਸਲੀ ਗੁਰੂ ਤੁਹਾਡਾ ਸ਼ਬਦ ਨਾਮ ਹੈ, ਕਿਉਂਕਿ ਦੇਹ ਤਾਂ ਸੇਵਕ ਦੀ ਵੀ ਨਹੀਂ ਰਹਿਣੀ, ਗੁਰੂ ਦੀ ਵੀ ਨਹੀਂ ਰਹਿਣੀ। ਜਾਂ ਸਾਡੇ ਸਤਿਗੁਰੂ ਮਹਾਰਾਜ ਕਿਰਪਾਲ ਇਹ ਸੰਸਾਰ ਦੇ ਵਿੱਚੋਂ ਯਾਤਰਾ ਪੂਰੀ ਕਰਕੇ ਗਏ, ਬੜੇ ਹੱਲੇ ਗੁੱਲੇ ਹੋਏ ਕਿ ਉਹ ਹੁਣ ਗੁਜ਼ਰ ਗਿਆ ਹੈ, ਮਰ ਗਿਆ ਹੈ, ਜੋ ਮਰਜ਼ੀ ਆਪਾਂ ਕਰੋ, ਲੇਕਿਨ ਇੱਕ ਐਸਾ ਵੀ ਆਤਮਾ ਉੱਠੀ ਸੰਸਾਰ ਦੇ ਵਿੱਚ ਜਿਹਨੇ ਇਹ ਹੋਕਾ ਦਿੱਤਾ ਕਿ ਉਹਨੂੰ ਕੋਰਟ ਦੇ ਵਿੱਚ ਖੜਾ ਕਰੋ, ਜਿਹੜਾ ਇਹ ਕਹਿੰਦਾ ਗੁਰੂ ਮਰ ਗਿਆ। ਕਿਉਂ ਵੀ ਪਿਆਰਿਆ, ਤੂੰ ਮਰਨ ਵਾਲਾ ਗੁਰੂ ਕਿਉਂ ਕੀਤਾ? ਜਿਹਦਾ ਗੁਰੂ ਹੀ ਮਰਨ ਜੰਮਣ 'ਚ ਲੱਗਿਆ ਹੈ, ਉਹ ਸੇਵਕ ਨੂੰ ਕਿਸ ਤਰ੍ਹਾਂ ਤਾਰ ਸਕਦਾ ਹੈ? ਨਹੀਂ, ਸੰਤਾਂ ਦੇ ਅੰਦਰ ਉਹ ਸ਼ਬਦ ਨਾਮ ਕੰਮ ਕਰਦਾ ਹੈ, ਜਿਹੜੀ ਨਾ ਜੰਮਣ 'ਚ ਹੈ ਨਾ ਮਰਨ ਦੇ ਵਿੱਚ ਆਉਂਦੀ ਹੈ।
ਦ ਪਾਵਰ ਵਿਚ ਇਜ਼ ਆਲ ਪਰਵੇਡਿੰਗ ਐਂਡ ਹੂ ਇਜ਼ ਸਸਟੇਨਿੰਗ ਐਂਡ ਨਰਿਸ਼ਿੰਗ ਦ ਹੋਲ ਕ੍ਰੀਏਸ਼ਨ ਇਜ਼ ਕਾਲਡ ਸ਼ਬਦ ਔਰ ਦ ਨਾਮ। Masters never connect anyone, they never attach anyone with their own body. They always connect and attach the disciples with the Shabad or that Naam, because neither the body of the master is going to live here forever, nor the body of the disciple is going to be here forever. So that is why masters always connect the souls, always connect their disciples with the Shabad, who never dies, who is never born. When beloved Master Kripal left this physical world, his physical body, there was an uproar created everywhere. People started saying that he has died, he has left this world and things like that. And there was a lot of happening here and there. But at that time, there was such a soul who woke up and who said all over in the world that those people should be brought in the court and they should be sued who say that their master has died. Why did you take someone as the master who himself was involved in the births and deaths? Master is not the body. Master is not the one who would die or who would take the birth, because he is the Shabad, he is that power who is not involved in the births and deaths. Because if the master himself is involved in the births and deaths, how can he liberate you?
Sevak da dharm hai, farz hai, simran de jariye nau dware khali karke akhan de piche teesre til te pahunchna, eh apni deh to chhutkara ho janda hai. Agge tuhada guru shabd roop ਉਹ ਤੁਹਾਡੇ ਜਾਣ ਤੋਂ ਪਹਿਲਾਂ ਤੁਹਾਡੀ ਇੰਤਜ਼ਾਰ ਵਿੱਚ ਖੜਾ ਹੋਏਗਾ। ਉਹ ਕਹੇਗਾ ਪਕੜ ਸ਼ਬਦ, ਆਪਦੇ ਘਰ ਪਹੁੰਚ। ਸਾਡਾ ਪਹਿਲਾਂ ਆਪਣੀ ਦੇਹ ਤੋਂ ਛੁਟਕਾਰਾ ਹੋ ਜਾਂਦਾ ਹੈ, ਫਿਰ ਸਾਡਾ ਸੰਤਾਂ ਦੀ ਦੇਹ ਤੋਂ ਵੀ ਅਸੀਂ ਉੱਪਰ ਉੱਠ ਖੜਦੇ ਹਾਂ। ਫਿਰ ਨਾ ਆਪਣੀ ਦੇਹ ਛੱਡਣ ਦਾ ਕੋਈ ਅਸੀਂ ਸਾਨੂੰ ਸੋਗ ਹੁੰਦਾ ਹੈ, ਨਾ ਗੁਰੂ ਸੰਸਾਰ ਦੇ ਵਿੱਚੋਂ ਦੇਹ ਆਪਣੀ ਅਲੋਪ ਕਰ ਲੈਂਦਾ ਹੈ ਕੋਈ ਫਿਰ ਫਿਕਰ ਹੁੰਦਾ ਹੈ, ਕਿਉਂਕਿ ਜਿਹੜੀ ਤਾਕਤ ਨਾਲ ਸਾਨੂੰ ਜੁੜਿਆ ਹੁੰਦਾ ਹੈ ਉਹ ਸਾਡੇ ਅੰਦਰ ਹਾਜ਼ਰ ਨਾਜ਼ਰ ਹੁੰਦੀ ਹੈ। ਅਸੀਂ ਸਾਨੂੰ ਪਤਾ ਹੈ ਕਿ ਉਹ ਮਹਾਨ ਕਿਸ ਤਰ੍ਹਾਂ ਸਾਡੇ ਅੰਦਰ ਜਿਵੇਂ ਪਹਿਲਾਂ ਪਿਆਰ ਕਰਦਾ ਸੀ ਹੁਣ ਵੀ ਉਹ ਕਰ ਰਿਹਾ ਹੈ, ਜਿਵੇਂ ਪਹਿਲਾਂ ਦੇਖਭਾਲ ਕਰਦਾ ਸੀ ਉਹ ਹੁਣ ਵੀ ਕਰ ਰਿਹਾ ਹੈ।
ਇਟ ਇਜ਼ ਦ ਡਿਊਟੀ ਆਫ ਦ ਡਿਸਾਈਪਲ ਟੂ ਡੂ ਦ ਸਿਮਰਨ ਐਂਡ ਰਾਈਜ਼ ਅਬਾਊਟ ਹਿਸ ਬੋਡੀ ਐਂਡ ਕਮ ਟੂ ਦੀ ਆਈ ਸੈਂਟਰ ਵੇਅਰ ਹਿਸ ਮਾਸਟਰ ਵੁੱਡ ਬੀ ਵੇਟਿੰਗ ਫਾਰ ਹਿਮ ਇਨ ਦ ਫਾਰਮ ਆਫ ਦ ਸ਼ਬਦ ਐਂਡ ਹੀ ਵੁੱਡ ਟੈਲ ਹਿਮ ਟੂ ਕੈਚ ਦ ਸ਼ਬਦ ਐਂਡ ਗੋ ਟੂ ਦ ਹੋਮ। ਵੈਨ ਵੀ ਰਾਈਜ਼ ਅਬਾਊਟ ਅਵਰ ਬੋਡੀ ਕੌਨਸ਼ੀਅਸਨੈਸ ਆਫਟਰ ਡੂਇੰਗ ਦ ਸਿਮਰਨ, we become free of our own body, we withdraw from our body, we rise above our body, and when we get ourselves connected, get ourselves attached to the Shabad and go upwards, go to the higher planes, that means that we have also risen above the body of the master. So when we have risen above our body and when we have risen above the body of the master, then neither we have the pain or the sorrow of leaving our body, nor we have the pain or sorrow of the masters leaving this body, because the power with which we have been connected, with which our soul is connected, is present in our within, and we have realized that power. And then we know that how, even though master has left his physical body, how he is still in our within, and how he is still loving us as he used to do when he was in the body.
That talk was given on May 26, 1988, in New York City, the Universalist Church, which was a special day of grace that Sanchi gave to all of us after his South American tour that year. Hundreds of people came from all over the country for that one day. It was, in its own way, as remarkable as the talk of Master Kripal's that I was reading earlier. Our closing bhajan is on page 27, Satguru Pyare Meri. O beloved Satguru, improve my life. Suffering from karma, I am calling at your door. I have not even a little control over you, except you and this world. Nothing is mine. I have come to your shelter. Don't reject me. I have got much suffering. No more agony. Cool my heart, which is heated by pain. Oh, beloved Satguru, improve my life. Suffering from karma, I am calling at your door. Bhajan of Sanchi on page 27.
Satguru Pyare Meri, Jindagi Savara Day, Karma De Mare Teri, Dara Te Pukara De. Satguru Pyare Meri, Jindagi Savara Day, Karma De Mare Teri, Dara Te Pukara De. Teri Te Guruji Mera, Rai Rati Jordana, Teri Bajo Dunia Te, Mera Koi Horana. Teri Te Guruji Mera, Rai Rati Jordana, Teri Bajo Dunia Te, Mera Koi Horana. Satguru Pyare Meri, Jindagi Savara De, Karma De Mare Tere, Dara Te Pukara De. Sharana Me Teri Aya, Manu Tukaraina, Dukkha Me Bateri Paye, Hora Terafaina. Sharana Me Teri Aya, Manu Tukaraina, Dukkha Me Bateri Paye, Hora Terafaina. Satguru Pyare Meri, Jindagi Savara De, Karma De Mare Tere, Dara Te Pukara De.
Tukanala Tapia Tu, Dila Mara Tara De, Satguru Pyare Meri, Jindagi Savara De. Dukkanala Tapia Tu, Dila Mara Tara De, Satguru Pyare Meri, Jindagi Savara De. Satguru Pyare Meri,
Oh, beloved Satguru, improve my life. Suffering from karma, I am calling at your door. May God bless us all.